We are up to Perek Chof Dalit Pasik Yud Zayin. Pachad Vafachas Vafoch Alecha Yashven Aretz. This is continuing our discussion of gloom and doom, what's going to happen at the end of days when the world's going to experience some type of very great Churban during the Milchemes Gog Magog. And these psukim are describing different aspects of what will happen at that time. And here it continues in that discussion, Pasuk Gitzayin, there will be pachad, terror, vafachas, pits. People will fall into holes, vafach, and traps. Three different events will happen.
What's pach?
Pach is a trap. Pach is a trap. Pachad is fear, of course. Fachas is a pit. People will fall into pits. Vafach, people will be trapped into some form of reshes. Reshes means like a trap for a fish, for birds, a net, okay? So these three different events will occur. Lech upon you, Yoshev, Aretz upon the people who live in the earth. Everyone in this earth will fall into one of these three categories. Now the pasuk really goes on to explain exactly what this means. Next pasuk, Yudches, v'hayo hanos mikol ha-pachad. People will be terrorized, and they will flee due to the terror. But those that flee from the sound of pachad, of terror, yipol el ha-pachas, will fall into a pit. Those that are fortunate to escape the pit will be able to pull themselves out. Yilokei ba'poch, will be trapped by the net. The trap will be captured. Why? Because pasuk continues and describes ki arubos mimarom niftachu, the decree of churban and destruction that is meant to come upon the world. We compare it to. It's been ordained by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by Shemayim. Ki arubos, windows. Arubos means the windows, mimarom niftachu. The windows from above, from the heavens, have been opened. Vayirashu, most the arets, and the foundations of the earth have trembled. And this can mean one of two things. It either can mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has decreed, the windows of heaven have been opened, meaning that the decree has come from Shemayim. Or it can mean, literally, that the world is deteriorating. There is a churban. There's global warming. There is the atmosphere, the environment. The world is deteriorating, and the windows of heaven have been opened. So the part of heaven that normally keeps the world in order, the environment, the all the different whatever keeps the environment in order has now been opened. Vayirashu, and because of that failure, the earth, the foundations of the earth have shook, Yirashu, they shake, and the earth basically is coming to an end. I guess if you want, you can say this all fits into the environment, global warming and the ozone layer and this and that, and that's why it has a direct effect upon the earth. Or it could mean something more devastating. That's not clear exactly, obviously, what these things mean. Pasuk Yates. Pasuk goes on to describe now all different forms of destruction. In this pasuk, there are three forms. The next pasuk, there are at least another two, but here we have three. Ro'ah his ro'ah. This is an unusual word. Ro'ah means to be destroyed. Chorav. Mitsudo says it means shavira, destruction. And the two words together, it's a compoundment of the word destruction. Ro'ah, his ro'ah, or it's the earth has been destroyed. Par his spolera. Par means to crumble. It's different than destruction. The churban means destroyed. What destroyed is a vague term. It can mean many different types of destruction. Here, it's very specific. Par means to crumble. Whatever exists will be broken up into small little pieces. Par his sporo eretz, the earth will crumble. And the third expression, mot his motito eretz, mot means to topple, nefila, to fall. Everything is there, nothing is crumbling, it's not destroyed, it just topples over and collapses on the ground. Right, your feet should not collapse beneath you. You know, you can think of it as a table. You have a table, and say the table is destroyed. What does it mean the table is destroyed? I don't know. How will you describe a table is destroyed? I'm not exactly.
Legs give away.
What?
Legs give
no,
away.
That would fall in the category of mot hismotita. The legs gave way and it collapsed. The second expression of par hispora means it broke into teeny little pieces. You have a table, your table is made of different parts, and all the parts have broken into 10 parts. Right. That's crumbles. The first expression, it's a general expression, but it means destroyed. So here we have three expressions. Obviously, Yeshaya is referring to three different elements of Churban that will overcome the world at this point in time. Ro'ah his ro'ah, par his pora, and mot his motita. Pasek chof, noah tanua eretz, kashikar. The earth will shake. Could you imagine earthquakes? Where you walk in the street, the earth is shaking like a drunkard. Someone who's drunk, he cannot walk a straight line. Please pull over a person who's intoxicated. They ask him to walk in a straight line. He cannot walk in a straight line because he shakes. The earth will shake, will not be able to follow its path, its orbit, in a normal fashion. Noah tanuah eretz, kashiko, like a drunk. For his nodida kameluna. A meluna is a tent, is a hut in a field where the watchman sits to guard the produce. Obviously, these tents are not very important and they shake in the wind. So just like this meluna, this hut in the field shakes in the wind, the earth will likewise shake back and forth similarly.
Can you the word malon, a hotel.
Malon is a hotel, right. So meluna is a certain type of hotel, which means it's a term which refers to a hut. It's a lodging. A hotel is called a malon because that's where people stay, lodge, they rest. Same, right? The same shurish, but it's used differently for different types of lodging. So here we're referring to a tent which will collapse. The chavad alecha pisha, and the weight. Now this is interesting. The weight of the sins pisha. Why is all of this happening? Why is the earth being destroyed? Why is it crumbling? Why is it collapsing? Why is it shaking? Two different types of shaking. There's a noah to nuah. I don't know the difference. Obviously, there must be some greater significance. It wouldn't be repeated for no reason, but there's a shaking called noah to nuah, and there's a shaking called v'hisnodida. Two different types of shaking. A total here of five different expressions of korban in these last two psukim. Why? It's not for no reason. It's because there's sin. Because v'chavad olecha pisha, because pisha means the sin of the earth is heavy. Hashem Kaviyachol says that the sin is, there's weight. It's interesting. Sin is a mamush. When a person sins, when he contaminates himself, there is something physical. There's some weight that's added to the world, and this weight, it weighs down upon the earth, v'nafala, and the earth collapses, v'lo sosif kum, and can no longer arise. Mefarshim explained that when we find many places in Chazal, in Tanakh, even in Halacha, that there's, I'll give you an example of Chashabbos, of Stira Soyser Almanas Livnos. A person is only chayv, one of the 39 categories of labor is if a person demolishes something on Shabbos. Stira, you take apart something. The only time a person is chayv for Stira on Shabbos, if it's a constructive form of Stira. You're demolishing, you're taking apart a structure for the purpose of reconstruction. A purpose of rebuilding it in a different or in a better method. There has to be some positive form of action when a person does a lacha. When a person does a lacha purely for the purpose of churban, of destruction, he is exempt from any liability of karban chatos or skila. It has to be a stira al menas livnos, a demolition of demolishing for the purpose of construction. Likewise, similarly, when a person, let's say he's walking and he has a heavy bundle, he stops, he sits down, he falls deliberately in order to readjust the package on his back, on his shoulder, on his neck, on his head, so that he can continue to walk and get to where he needs to go. It's called an afila for the purpose of amida. You're falling, you're resting, so that you can rest and you can readjust the package so you can once again continue and go forward. Here the pasuk says that the nafla, when the earth collapses, it's an afila that is for good. V'lo sosif kum. It's not a nefilah that has anything positive about it. It is a permanent nefilah, and the earth will no longer be able to arise from this falling. Pasuk Chaf Aleph. V'hoya bayo mahu. It will be on that day, this day of Churban. Yifkod Hashem al tzva mohamarom bamarom. Hashem will visit. Hashem will remember. Pekida means many things. Sometimes it means remember. Sometimes it means to overlook, and sometimes it means to count, to survey. So here it means Hashem will survey and act upon. No, doesn't just mean to remember. Hashem pokad esara kasher amar vayas. Hashem did kasher diber. A pekida means when you remember and you act upon your memories. Sometimes you're sitting at home and you have pleasant memories. I remember what happened on this day 10 years ago. You read the news, you always have in the news, the yard site of this one, the yard site for that person. What happened on this day throughout history? Okay, you remember. Does it really make a difference? Doesn't make a difference. Is your life going to change? Are you going to take action based upon your memories? No. I mean, you can if you want, but what are you going to really do? So today is the anniversary of this major event that happened in world history. Okay, fine. Pekida means you remember, and therefore you have to act. I remember this has happened 10 years ago, and therefore today is the day that I must take action in response to this event. That is what is happening over here. That's why by Sarah, Hashem remembered Sarah. He remembered that she was in Akara. He remembered her prayers. He remembered the situation, and therefore Hashem did what he promised Avram, and he caused her to become pregnant. Same thing here, Hashem will remember upon the Tzva Hamarom. This can mean one of many things. It can mean, one interpretation refers to the guardian angels of the nations of the world. Every nation has in Shamayim a guardian angel. And as long as that Sar, that mazel, so to speak, or angel is safe and secure and powerful, then automatically the corresponding nation on this earth will have success. But when Hashem humbles the Tsar of the nation, then it automatically has a ripple effect, and on this earth, that nation collapses. So here, that is what is happening according to that interpretation, that on that day, Yifkod Hashem, Hashem will remember for punishment. Hashem will remember all of the sins that this nation has committed, and therefore will punish their guardian angel, Al Tzva Hamarom, upon the army, the host in heaven, Bamarom in heaven. And so the Tzva Hamarom means their guardian angel, that is, Hashem will remember upon them, Bamarom in the heavenly spheres, and punish them, and bring Churban upon them. And now Mimela, the Pasuk goes on to say, once the guardian angel of the nation has been humbled, has been defeated, has been conquered, V'al Malcheho Adama, Al Ho Adama, Mimela, the kings of the earth upon the earth will be destroyed, will collapse, and will fall, and be conquered by Klal Yisrael, and by whoever power is dominant at that time, they will be conquered. So this describes what will happen. Pasuk Chaf Beis. Now this pasuk is not clear at all what this means. All it says is Ve'usufu Aseifa Asir Albar. Rashi and all the Mefarshim explain that you have to take the third word. It's a play on the words. Ve'usufu Aseifa Asir. All of these words are very similar. Asir means a prisoner. And you have to read the pasuk as if it says ke'asir, like a prisoner. The chaf hadimyon is absent, but that's part of the style of writing. It's as if the chaf is there. So what it means here is that Hashem will collect all of the people, all of the enemies of the Jewish people, like prisoners, ke'asir albar, into a pit. Here we have a very important word, aseifa. Today there are signs all over the community. There's an asifa for this event. There's an asifa for this event, for this problem. So the medachtikim tell us that the word asifa is not correct. It's aseifa. Somehow we are accustomed to using words which are not correct. Asifa. There is a word asifa. I don't. I forgot the details, but here with the word here is used in very, very in its correct form in this pasuk, aseifa. Aseifa means where a group of people come together for a purpose, or they just come together. The usufu means they will be collected, aseifa, as a gathering, asir. Again, read the pasuk as if there is a chaf hadimim, ki asir, like a prisoner or like a prisoners. We're referring to the collective group as an individual. So we write here in the single tense, asir, al bar, into the pit. The pit is the dungeon, into jail. Visuguru al masker, they were locked up. Al masker means with a padlock, with a lock, and they'll be locked away for good. When will they be remembered? Umeirov hayomim yipokedu, and after many, many days, someone will think about them, they will be remembered, and then something will be done. Remember, the word yipokedu always refers to a remembrance that involves action, where you take action after you have a memory. At that point in time, we'll remember we have some prisoners that are in the dungeon, we have to deal with them, and we'll do something with them. Maybe we'll give them parole, maybe we'll give them some functions, some roles. So the pasuk in its entirety refers to the nations of the world. At this point in time, Hashem will punish them severely. As the theme of this parak, there will be some enormous chorban that will come upon the world. There will be survivors, but the survivors will not be innocent. They'll be guilty. They will be punished. They will be collected and locked away in a bar, in a dungeon, for a long period of time. And after they suffer their punishment, then they will be remembered, and something will be done with them. Now, that's what it says. It's a very interesting idea, but that's look at the Rashi, the Usufu Ho'akum, the Ode Glulim Aseifa Shehu Lir Asam. It's for their detriment. Lahachnis Asir El Bar Hamuchen Lo. And what does this mean? Rashi says to gather the prisoner into the dungeon which is prepared for him. Michiyuvei Gehenem LeGehenem. This means that if you want to learn the pasuk with Rashi's style, always in the Yeshaya, in the old Tanakh for that matter, or at least all of Nevi'im Achronim, is very midrashic, very into the medrash, and these people will die and will go to Gehenem. If you take the pasuk literally, the enemies of the world will be shackled. I think we've all seen at some point in time these doomsday films, Twilight Zone, have all these things of end of the days, the world comes to an end, people roaming around, and prisoners, and all these type of images of what it's going to look like. So that's what the pasuk can mean here. Literally, the living survivors will be locked up and put away in some dungeon. But again, Rashi learns differently. Rashi appears to learn that this refers to death. Death, they will be collected in, they will die, and they will descend to Gehenim. And after a period of time, this leads to reassuring, this leads to a comfort, that Gehenim does not go on forever. Umeirov yomim yipokedu. After a period of time, they will be remembered. It's interesting that Gehenim is, if according to Rashi, is defined in terms of days. One thing that we know about spiritual, about Nyani Ruchnius, is there's no Zman. Zman is something that is in this world. In this world, there is past, present, and future. In the Olam HaRuchni, it's all the same. Hoya Hova V'yiya, HaKadosh Baruch Hashem sees the whole period of time, past, present, future, as one. We have no understanding what this means, obviously, but yet, according to Rashi, we're describing it as something which refers to the Ruchnistic world, and yet it's defined as Mirov Yomim Yipokedu, that Gehenim does not go on forever. And I guess Pasuk is being written in a way that we can understand, we can relate to it, that after a period of time, then they will be remembered and it will come to an end. Pasuk of Gimel, this is a very famous Pasuk, V'chofra Halavana Uvosha Hachama. These are two words which mean the same thing. Chofra and Vosha means embarrassment. The Levana will be embarrassed, and the son will be embarrassed. Kimolach Hashem Tzvakos Behar Tzion. Hashem will have ruled. Hashem will be the melech over the world in the mountain of Tzion uVirushalayim. V'neged Zikenov Kavod. And before his elders, Zikenov also refers to the Chachomim. Chachom Azokin is Zeh Shekona Chachma. There will be honor. Now, what does this pasuk mean? There are many interpretations. One interpretation, let's start with one interpretation, is that the sun and the moon will be embarrassed because they have been worshipped throughout the world history. Throughout world history, there's been man who has consistently denied the existence of the Ribbono Shel Olam and have worshipped the sun and the moon. Now, obviously, the sun and the moon, each body has a different form of Avodah Zarah. The sun is the light, the moon, whatever these things represent, but there are different forms of Avodah Zarah which are represented by the sun and by the moon, and they have been worshipped throughout history, nature, teva, or to actually feel that the sun and the moon has real power over this world. And now when it is apparent, it is obvious to all that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the melech of the world, the sun and the moon will be ashamed, they'll be embarrassed that they were objects of idolatry, they were partners in the denial of the existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this will fill them with shame. And that's what it says, that's one interpretation. Rashi learns differently. Rashi learns V'charfa HaLevon is now referring to the moon itself, is referring to the Goyim, to the Oivdei Koychavim U'Mazalos, to the nations of the world who worship the sun and the moon. Let's look at Rashi. Rashi just quotes the Targum, as Rashi often does in Yeshaya. V'charfa HaLevon, Targum Yonason, V'yiv HaSun, they will be afraid, they will be terrified, to Polchin L'Sihara, those that worshipped the sun, the yiskin un, and they will be humbled. This gidin l'shimsha, those that the sierra is l'shimsha. I guess sierra is the moon. Sorry, sierra is the moon, the crescent, the moon, and the yiskin un, and they will be humbled. Those that worship, those that bow down to the sun. So Rashi says that the embarrassment and the shame that we are referring to here is not the sun and the moon itself. They don't have any feelings. Okay, on a very simple level, the sun and the moon is a daimim. It's not something which is a living organism. It's referring to the people, the human beings, the worship of someone. They will be ashamed at this point in time. It's interesting when we say davening in the Hallelujahs in Pesukei Dezimra, we refer to how all the different parts of creation praise Hashem. The sun, the moon, and the stars. And I once saw in a Perush HaTefillah that the sun and the moon, only with regard to the sun and the moon do we find embarrassment. The stars does not say anywhere that the stars will be embarrassed at the time of Mashiach. Only V'chofer HaLevana U'vosha HaChama. But the stars have one up on the sun and the moon. They will not experience shame and embarrassment. Why not? According to the interpretations that we're giving, it's a little bit difficult because the reason why they will be embarrassed at the time of Mashiach is because they were worshipped and they were partners in the denial of the existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You can say the same thing for the stars. The stars also were worshipped throughout history. But yet, the pasuk does not hold the stars responsible, and the stars, nowhere does it say that the stars at that time will experience shame. Okay, that's just an interesting idea. The stars were only created, Rashi tells us, to give nechama to the moon. Originally, Chazal tell us there were no stars. Hashem created the Shnei HaMa'oros HaGadolim, the Shemesh and the Levana, the sun and the moon. The moon complained. Ein shnei melachim mishamshim mikeser echad. Two kings cannot be mishamish with one crown. So Hashem diminished the moon, and the moon was upset. And Hashem tried many ways to be mefayis, to appease the moon, and the moon would not accept. There's nothing the moon could have been done to be mefayis the moon. And Hashem then said, "You have to bring." We don't know what this means. Hashem said, "Kaviyachol, I have sinned." We know what that means. And on Rosh Chodesh, we bring a carbon for Hashem. What that means, that's Nyani Kabbalah. You're not even allowed to talk about that. A lot of the Mepharshim say, stay far, far away from such ideas. Atzur tamim pa'alok yichol drachav mishpat kel emuna ve'einovel. There's nothing that Hashem does that's wrong. So to go say that Hashem needs a kapara, this is in Yoni Kabbalah, it's not to be taken literally. But the Chazal go on to say that Hashem was to a certain degree mefayes the Levana by creating stars. The stars in the heaven are all there to be mefayes, to serve to accompany the moon. That's what they're all there. Every time you look at the stars are there. They only have been created to be mefayes the moon. So, I mean, that takes away a little bit of why there's no shame. The sun and the moon, they were part of creation. It was part of the original plan that they exist. So if something goes wrong, they're responsible. They were part of creation. And if they have not been faithful, they will be ashamed. As the pasuk says, the chofer halavanu v'yishachama. But the stars, you can't blame the stars when they were not even meant to exist. I didn't come here. I wasn't part of the original plan of creation. I only came here to rectify. It's like you have a problem, and you bring someone in, and the person you bring in can't. You have a leak in the house. So you bring the plumber. So the plumber tries to fix the leak, and the plumber says, I don't know, I can't fix the leak. So who do you blame? The plumber. You blame the original contractor who built the house, who did a sloppy job, and didn't do a proper job. The plumber only came to try to fix the problem. If the plumber can't fix the problem, it's not the plumber's fault. The plumber tried his best. He couldn't fix the problem because the problem is so great. But don't blame me for my failure. The one that you blame is the contractor who originally put in the plumbing. He should have done the job right. So it's v'chofer halavana uvoisha v'chofer halavana uvoisha hachama, but not the stars. Because the stars were not part of the original plan of creation. They were only there to mefayes the moon. And then there's another very beautiful idea. This idea I saw in the Biur HaChasidus. I do not remember. It's a Likud of Chasidus Shaverloch on Nach. Some beautiful things in that Sefer. And here he says that we learned throughout Tanakh, Chazal always telling us to look to nature for midos tovos. Everything in creation, you can look at it and you can learn from something. You can learn something from them. And indeed, Chazal often focus on the sun and the moon and tell us to learn. You learn from different things. Those that love Hashem are like the sun. Chazal tell us, if you want to love Hashem, look at the sun. Look at the derech of the sun. There's what to learn about ahava from the sun. You want to learn about yira, fearing Hashem? So the pasuk says, there's a pasuk, let me see if I wrote it down. There's a pasuk that tells us, "Yiruuchem Hashemesh v'lefnei yoreach." Fear you with the sun. From the sun, we also can learn about fear with the moon and before the moon. Okay, there are different. You have to study Tanakh, study Chazal, and they tell us, "Look at the sun, look at the moon, and from them you can learn good midos, yirah shamayim, ahavas Hashem, so on and so forth." But when Mashiach comes, the question is, why do you have to go look at the sun and the moon? Why don't you go look at the Talmidei Chachamim? Look at the Midos Tovos of the Talmidei Chachamim. The answer is, unfortunately, in Galus, Talmidei Chacham are few and far in between. There are not many Talmidei Chachamim, and even Talmidei Chachamim do not necessarily have the Midos Tovos, not necessarily doing what they're supposed. People that are wearing the Itzlo de Rabbanan, are wearing the rabbinic garb, are not necessarily doing things that they should be doing, and not necessarily is there what to learn all the time from the Talmidei Chachamim. There are, there's no question that there are Talmidei Chachamim, but not available enough of them to go around for everyone. Therefore, we have to substitute, and we have to look to nature to learn Midos Tovos and Hanhogos Tovos. But when Mashiach comes, there will be so many Talmidei Chachamim. You walk in the street, wherever you look, there will be another gem, another person that's a mushla, a sholem, perfect person, full of dripping, ashkolos, dripping with all the good midos, everything that there is good about this world. no longer will we have to go look to nature to learn hanhagas tava. So, like, you know, you can learn from a book, and you can learn from a Rebbe. When you go to a Rebbe, you go to have a Rebbe, so, you know, there's something that about a live shiur. Today, you know, people online, you can download a billion shiurim. There are enough shiurim online to download for millions of lifetimes what is going on. Why do people still go to real shiurim then? Why do people go to sit in front of the computer the whole day? The answer is there's a social aspect, but there's something about life that still has appeal that with all the technology you can't substitute. That's what the pasuk here says. The sun and the moon is nice. There's what to learn. Just go outside, look at the sun, watch the sun and the moon. It's very interesting. But it's boring, and it doesn't compare to learning from Talmidei Chachamim. And that's what the Pasuk says, a beautiful interpretation of this Pasuk. Let's read the Pasuk backwards. That L'asa lava v'neged zikeinav kavod. Before the zikeinim will be honor. People will give honor to the zikeinim. The zikeinim is zesh shekan chacham, because they will realize this is the model. This is the way to live. This is who we have to focus on. And there'll be so many of them. And that's who people will study from. The sun and the moon? Boring. There's no need to study the hanhagis of the sun and the moon. The male, the pasuk says, Chofra halavana, ovosha hachama. They'll be obsolete. We're not going to need to learn from them. Because kimolach Hashem tzavakos v'haratzirin v'shalayim. Because now that Hashem is Melech and the whole world sees, and there are so many Talmidei Chachamim, there are Zekeinim who deserve honor, the Neged Zekeinov Kavod. That's where people will be going for Shiurim, not study from nature. I thought it's a very beautiful interpretation. Okay, we're really, time is up. Let me just give you a Hagdama, just one more minute, Hagdama to the next parak. Next parak begins a little bit of a turn. But Sefer Yishai is known as Nechama. Gemara says that the entire Sefer Yishai is Nechama. So far, the first 24 paragim doesn't seem like this much Nechama. It's gloom and doom. Gloom and doom. And then say the Nechama begins Perek Mem. Perek Mem is where we have the Shin, the Nechento, we have Nachmu Ami, the seven Haftaros we read after Tisha B'Av. We really read the Shabbos Chazon we read from the first Perek. Chazon Yishai Ben Amos, we read that's okay, there's a lot of time. There's also Nechama in the Teichacha, but the Sefer, the part of Yishai that's known for the beautiful words of comfort, begins Perek Mem. Until we get to Perek Mem, the first 39 Perakim deals a lot of gloom and doom, but here in this next Perek, it begins to tilt. It's a transition process from gloom and doom to Nechama, and this Perek is where it begins. It's like a shira. The next two prakim describe our songs, so to speak. It is a continuation of the Chorban, of this previous Perek of Aleph, Nochem Niskoi Gomagog, but here the Tzadikim are speaking and they're giving Shevach V'Hoidot to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that they have been spared, they have survived, and are witnessing the Yemos HaMashiach. They're witnessing Olam Haba. It's not clear what's the difference between Yemos HaMashiach and Olam Haba, and all of these different time periods at the end of days. But that's what the next parak is discussing. The tzaddikim are responding to the events, to their salvation, to witnessing the Yad Hashem at this very great time in history. Okay, we'll stop here.